Hello, everyone. You know, as we were worshipping, I was just thinking about, so when we were in Albania, we took a big piece of blue sheet to kind of symbolize the river. And all the kind of meetings that we went to, we kind of got the children. They were all kind of running around with the river throughout the whole meetings that we were in. And it was a real prophetic thing of the river and the children with it. And you know, it's important that we remember our name is River Church. And just go with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel 47. And Ezekiel 47 verse 9, it's talking about the river of God here. And it says, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. And who wants to live in the river? You know, this river brings healing wherever it goes. Everything moves. And I just want to encourage you this morning to jump in the river. Is anyone up for that? So you might want to just stand up and do a little prophetic act if you're into these things, or just jump in the river, however you want to. Don't get out of the river once you're in it. You can swim there forever. You know, I just feel God encouraging me so much. You know that verse, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And, you know, I just, this morning as I was praying as well, and I just feel like God's been speaking to me personally about this in recent times, that, you know, it's almost like sometimes we actually try to be God. Does that make sense? We try to do everything in our own strength and make things happen in our own strength, but we just can't do it. We need to let God be God. We just need to be in the river. So this is my thing that God's teaching me at the moment, so I just thought I'd share it with you. But I just want to invite the guys up who went to Albania. Ollie. Okay, for those of you who don't know, the big year, which is River's year of training, we went on a mission trip to Albania. And just for those of you who don't know about Albania, Albania was kind of closed off to any kind of Christian activity for many years, from about 1947 to 1990, and under kind of communism. And it was really amazing while we were there, because when we first got there, we went to a YWAM conference where they were like gathering past and present YWAM missionaries and people who've been on their DTS and people like that. And we heard some amazing stories about what God has done in Albania, and just how there were people who would pray for Albania when it was closed off and no one knew anything about it. In the 70s and the 80s, there were like gatherings that would happen every year. It were just people praying for that country. And there were people who God spoke to who moved to Kosovo near to the border so they could learn the language and all that kind of thing. So as soon as Albania opened up, they would be ready to go in. And it's just so amazing just to hear how God had his strategic plan in place for that country, how people were so faithfully praying for a country that they knew nothing about over many, many years of not seeing any signs of anything happening. And apparently in about 90, I think it opened up to missionaries in 91, and in 94 it was the country had the most missionaries per square capita anywhere in the world. So, you know, God had done awesome things there. And we had just such an amazing time. And it just felt like Albania was on the verge of something. And we, as part of many people, had something to bring to Albania at this time, in terms of which was linking in with what God is doing in that nation. And out of the mission trips that I've been on in my life, that was the one where I felt most that we really had something to bring to it, and that it really kind of was impacting them. Because often it feels like, yeah, you do your thing, you serve them, but I always feel like I get way more back than I've ever given. And I'm not saying we didn't get anything back, but it felt like we really had something And wherever we went, there was just such hunger, and we saw God do amazing things. So we'll just tell you a few stories, but we'll start with Emma, because she's going to go out with the bass guys.
I'm just waiting for them to come in. I just want them to hear this. When we were praying together as a team for Albania, I kind of had a picture that there would be ripples going out from Albania in what we brought, in the love that we showed, that it would go beyond Albania, that they would get God's love and take it out. And kind of as I went, there are loads of encouraging things. You know, we can't tell all the stories, but one of the key things for me, I think, was that for years, there have been so many people serving in Albania, missionaries from everywhere. You know, we met a couple that are working in Elbasan, and they've come from St. Lucia, of all places, to go to Albania. I mean, you know, it just spoke volumes that God had put Albania on these people's hearts. And they were finding it tough. And one of the amazing things for me was actually to be able to pray, prophesy, and encourage those missionaries. And one of the things was me, I was keen to move out on a bit of prophetic art. And I did it twice. And one of the times that I did it, I did this picture of sort of, I kind of felt that it was for this missionary, this intercessor that's been praying in Albania for years and obviously not seeing the fruits moving as much as she wanted to, in just the issues of fear and stuff that were in the Albanian people. And I was led to draw paint a prophetic picture of her of, kind of like a cloud of darkness that she was feeling, sort of in the spirit. But actually as an encouragement on the other side of the picture was just a picture of like the Albanian mountains, because it's so mountainous, so beautiful. And God's sun, a huge sun and rainbow of God's covenant and the eagle and stuff. And just an encouragement to keep on pressing in, because one thing I felt that God was really going to do something amazing in that place, where the spirit of God's love would so touch the Albanian people that they would be able to bless each other and move it out. One of the last things, like, we had the opportunity to pray for a chap called Doug, who was kind of overseeing our trip and, you know, has gone through times where he's been trying to pass on things to the Albanian people, carry stuff that he's felt in the spirit and them not kind of follow it up. And he's gone through times of real, you know, frustration, and we were encouraged to pray and prophesy over him, and I just kind of we went to Elbasan, and there was a big cross over Elbasan, just over the nation. There had been some kind of opposition to that cross from the Muslim people, and I just thought it was key, and I just reflected on that when I was praying for him, and I wasn't organized enough to get it up, but I just kind of felt for him that it was a picture of the Angel of the North, that he was carrying something in that, but that it was something that they needed, some kind of statement over Tirana, some cross or something for all the killing of Christians and stuff that's gone on, that he needed to follow that. And as Vicky's talking about taking the land, I just kind of thought, what is our thing above all else that we want to have over our town? What would be the thing that kind of overshadowed the town and show people of God's goodness? And that's kind of just what I'm sort of thinking about and going to pray into about that. So,
and at the end, bass guys, just so you know, we're going to have a time where we're going to pray. We're going to pray for people to be here. We're going to do words of knowledge and maybe prophecy. And we're going to get the bass guys and the children to come back in, and we're going to get them involved in praying. So I'm really excited about that. So you guys can get ready for in the spirit. The glory fell on the aeroplane on the way there. And Simon's going to tell us a story about the aeroplane.
I've told this story so many times that Dag, when he was interpreting, was actually going ahead of me because he knew it so well. And he was teasing me. I'm looking at him and he's saying, no, I've already told him. On the way there, I booked my ticket at the accidentally, apparently, I ended up at the back of the plane when everybody else was taking up the first sort of three rows. That was the arrangement, and I ended up on my own. I remember thinking, well, maybe there could be a God appointment. I won't try and switch. It's not a big deal. It's a couple of hour flight, and a few hour flight. And of course, I sat next to an Albanian, and he got chatting and told me a lot about Albania. I learned quite a lot about that. Really good guy. He was working in England, earning by Albanian standards a fortune, and just taking it home, giving it to his family, just building houses for his family and so on. You can do so much with a sort of that level of income over there. And I remember thinking, okay, Lord, what's going on here? So turned out he had surgery the night before the flight. Didn't tell the airline, or they probably wouldn't have let him fly. He'd had, I think it would be keloids would be the name, you know, sort of benign growths in his wrist, in his both wrists. And he'd had surgery right through the muscles, sort of deep surgery to remove these things the night before. He had about, I think he had 7 on one wrist, 5 on the other. He had a problem with his back too. I don't know what that was, but that went, subsequent to prayer. And I remember going to the loo and saying, Lord, you know, give me boldness here. We're going to deal with this, going to pray for this. So, of course, because we were at the back by the near the toilet, the rest of the team got introduced to this guy, you see, the whole team. Not only that, but there was material I was reading, which was a YWAM Albania newsletter, that I started to spot things and said, look, this girl here is from the north, from a town called Burel, and it was... I just had a hunch. He said, oh, that's where I'm from. Can I have a look at that? He starts reading scriptures for the key to Albania at the moment, from Jeremiah and Isaiah. Starts reading this stuff while I'm talking to other members of the team. And when Dave Jones came back, we had a spare seat. He sat down with us. And I said, come on, we're going to pray. Let's pray for this guy's wrists. After a barrage of words about how he was from a Muslim family and basically nominally believed in God, and came up with all the sort of religious objections. And I said, well, look, I don't think God's religious, and he believes in you, whether you believe in him or not. And we finally got around to praying for him. And he felt fire go up his arms. And suddenly, he met the Lord. I know he met the Lord in his body, and he met the Lord in his spirit, because his face changed. He went from being reasonably smiley to sparkling. You know, the man was radiant. It's like, you know, you all expect to look kind of thing as you come out of the cloud of presence on a Sunday morning. And the pain completely went. I remember closing my eyes. I didn't lay hands on there, but I remember... closing my eyes and just praying for his back too. Pain had gone, you know, he had no pain in his wrist. He couldn't wash his hair before because he couldn't lift his arms any higher than this. He was in so much pain. And he was just wide open after that, and I had the opportunity to tell him how I met the Lord and so on. So we bantered this story around in Albania. I was sort of, you know, like I said, I could more or less say it in my sleep. On the way back... Chloe, and Dave and Tom Tora and myself, and then Emma switched seats as well. So there were 5 of us all on row 24 when everybody else was at the front again. We all took over this back row right sort of near the loo where everyone had to queue up. And this guy came down the aisle, and I spotted he'd got his hand bandaged up. And I thought, okay, here we go. We've got a ministry for this. So when he came out of the loo, Tom accosted him and he was quite, he had a lot of bravado. He was resistant superficially, but inside he was just so warming to us. And we started to get slain. You know, Emma had a sort of holy Tourette's. You know, shoot, shoot. And, other people were coming back from the team. And the whole... Shut up. And the whole lot of us started going around him. There were all the other Albanians from about 3 different rows all kind of looking at us. It was a real, for us it was a party, for the staff it was a disturbance, and yet somehow, they kind of found the whole thing amusing. They didn't sort of get sort of offended by it, cause they hang out at the back there, you know, just beyond the back by the toilets. And, and he'd actually hurt it in a fight. And his wrist, he had pins in it. He started to unwrap it. He was a lot of bravado about showing us how gruesome this thing was. His hugely swollen hand that he'd busted. And he didn't want to let us touch him. So we just kept sort of talking, and you could see his face kind of brightening and laughing about it. In the end, he let us pray, and nothing happened that we could see. And we prayed some more. I was actually at a distance. We were all sort of like climbing over rows of seats to get a finger on his hand, sort of thing, and binding this, that, and the other. And we prayed some more. Anyway, at one point, I actually said to him, "Erin, do you suppose it's an accident that you are surrounded?" And he looked around. He'd got three people one side and one row on the side of the aisle, two people the other. There was Diana had just come out of the loo, so she was standing one side of him in the aisle, and there was Catherine the other, who was completely surrounded. "Do you suppose it's an accident? You're surrounded by people that are carrying the presence of God. You know, you're gonna meet him," kind of thing. And eventually, he went back to his seat. I'll try and wrap it up. We're in the immigration. I think most of the guys that were in the rows to the front had gone through, and we're just standing there in a queue, a few of us. And I thought, who's that lot over there? What's that great long queue? Of course, it's Albanians. And I thought, oh, Erin, bright orange T-shirt, stood out like a sore thumb at the back, and he was watching us. He was actually watching us, hoping that we'd actually catch, sort of, spot him. And I spotted him and waved. He immediately waved back. He's saying, "It's getting better. It's getting better." So we're in faith that by the following morning that would be sorted, and we've just handed them over to God. We, you know, we didn't go through the whole sinner's prayer bit. We trust that the Lord is bigger than that, and they've already had an encounter. So thank you.
Hello. I promise not to say anything about toilets or bladder problems. Steer clear. Okay, so the first day, we went to a prison, which was specifically for revenge murders. That was good fun. Slightly anxious as you walk in, and they take your passport. But no, it was really good. So we did a play. If any of you have seen the Lifehouse skit, if not, put it into YouTube. It's amazing. It'll completely change your view. And then we called out words of knowledge, and we were praying for these guys. The thing is, they're just like normal guys. They're actually just like me and you. Like, they've just done one thing wrong, and they get put in prison for like 10, 15 years. But they're all really nice. They were just like, "Can you pray for me?" And they were just really quite just chilling. So it was quite cool. And then four guys gave their life to the Lord there, which was just incredible. So we were like, "Yeah!" That was cool. What else? We did a meeting in Juris, which was good fun. We just got absolutely, we got really drunk on the spirit, which is cool. And the fire just fell, and stop laughing. Yeah, and it was just amazing. So many people got healed. So a guy who had had a brain hemorrhage couldn't lift his arm above like here, and after being prayed for, he's just waving it around, just going crazy, which was good fun. One of our drivers, his right knee was bad, and after being prayed for by about 17 children, he could move it fine. It's just amazing, like, what children can do. Just the faith that children have is incredible, because as adults, we're just like, we've seen healings, we haven't seen healings, so we're sort of in the middle. But children are just like, whatever, I don't care, I'll just do it. And so the faith that children have is so incredible. So, yeah, we can learn so much from our kids. Thank you very much.
I think it's really good when God does stuff through us, and we can use spiritual gifts outside of a church setting. And for the prison, it was just amazing. People were so responsive. We did some things, and then we had people called out words of knowledge about different illnesses and stuff. And these guys responded, and they came forward, and we prayed with them. And they were in this sort of tennis court type thing, and it had one of those sort of mesh things around it, and so we were sort of putting our hands through just to sort of touch these guys and identify with them. One guy, he couldn't speak. He had some sort of thing on his throat with a little hole and stuff. So he was writing furiously in Albanian. One of his messages, he said, "Look, we want to thank you for coming. We respect you for coming because you've shown that you respect us." And it was just an amazing time, an absolutely amazing time. The only other thing, well, not the only other thing, everyone said a lot of the things. This lady poured a bottle of water on my head. I just want you to imagine that at the moment. But there's this lady, she was sort of one of these prophet ladies, you know. And she was there with her husband, and he's a very sort of solid guy, a real man of righteousness, and they wanted us all to gather around them and to pray for them. And I think they really are significant people for the church in Albania generally. But then she said, look, I want to share with you. She said, have you got a bottle of water? I should have said no, but she gave, I've got one. And then she, poured it on my head. And, then she said, look, we want to have the anointing that you have. And, you know, in true Bethel fashion, yeah, you know, you're blessed to be a blessing. So have it all, have it all. And then she prophesied. So it was just a great time. It was from start to finish. If you wanted to design a mission trip in advance, we ticked all the boxes. And so for everybody here who has Monday morning, all day Tuesday and Thursday evenings available, I really encourage you to sign up for the big year next year and to go on the mission trip, and you'll just have an extraordinary time.
Thank you. You know, it was just such an example to us that week of the power of the gospel, you know, in Romans where Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. And we just saw that, and it was just so amazing. And I was just so amazed at the team. I was just like watching them being like, wow, they're like amazing. You know, when we were in the prison, every single word of knowledge someone responded to. And some people took some real risks as well to be like really crazily specific, and they got the responses as well, you know, really taking that risk. And to me, I just want to encourage us as a church that, you know, we have got something that God has given to us, you know, to bring. And to me, that was a real example to us of that, you know, the whole thing that we're really going for, that God is love and God is good. You know, we took that message wherever we went to these different meetings. And it was a powerful message, because so many people have that image of God of him being angry. But that message that God is love and God is good, it was powerful and it broke things. And just about everywhere we went, when the words of knowledge came, it really broke open the atmosphere. You know, there was one meeting, it was when we were in Durres, and it was because we were at the YWAN conference, then we did three meetings each day in different places, and Durres was the second one. And the first one in Tirana, we just had an amazing time. We'd seen healings, we just saw the Holy Spirit move so powerfully and people so open, including the pastors, which apparently is really quite unusual because they're usually more closed and don't like to be like that in front of their people. But that pastor was just great. And we went to Durres, and it was really good. But because I was leading that meeting, I just felt so like I was battling against this kind of religious spirit, and it felt really kind of hard. But, you know, there was good stuff that was being shared. But when we came to the words of knowledge, it just like broke open the whole atmosphere. And I think that we probably saw the most healings in that place, in Durres. There were just incredible things that happened. And we were getting reports back, like Ollie said about the driver whose knee got healed. Apparently everyone in his church was saying, I can't remember his name, was, you know, what's happened to him? He just seems completely different, you know, some impact of God. So it was just a really incredible time. And you know, I just want to encourage all of us about how powerful the gospel is. It's not just when we go to another country on a mission trip. It's in the day to day of our lives that we have this power of Jesus living inside of us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. And let's walk in that. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to speak for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then we're going to pray. And the thing that I was just praying, I was like, God, you know, what do you want to say today? And the thing that came to me, and it was almost like I kind of was just picturing, you know, you guys sitting here as a congregation. It's like I could see almost like the Holy Spirit just speaking over you guys about the whole thing of standing in the land that God has given you. And
just going to explain some points of briefly about that, but just really believing that the Holy Spirit's going to impart something to you, each as individuals, as a congregation as well, as families, those of you with businesses, into those situations as well. But if you just go with me to Ephesians 6, and many of you will know this passage. It's when Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and at the end of this letter, he's telling them to put on the whole armour of God, you know, to take their stand against the devil's schemes. And if you look at verse 13, it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You know, we need to rediscover the power of standing. You know, standing. You know, sometimes we can get discouraged because we think, oh, you know, things aren't as far on as I want them to be at this point. I'm wanting to see this happen, whether it's in a family situation, whether it's in our ministry, in our church, in our community, whatever it is that God has given us as our dreams and gifts. You know, we can get disappointed in those situations, but we need to know that when we continue to stand and we don't give up, it's so powerful. It's just so powerful. And, you know, I saw that so much in Albania. You know, people, faithful missionaries who've given up everything and they're standing, you know, even though it's difficult, it requires everything of them. But the fact that they continue to stand means that the kingdom of God is advancing in that place because they're standing. They might not have seen the full dream come to fruition yet, but the fact they're standing means that it will do, even if it doesn't happen in their lifetime. We need to know the power of standing. And I just feel that for some of us here today, you know, the Holy Spirit just wants to encourage us. Don't give up. Stand. Stand, you know. Standing, you just still say, okay, I'm here. I'm just going to stand. You know, that's what God is encouraging us to do. And there's just a few little points that I'm going to very briefly say on this in terms of the land. You know, first of all, I just encourage you to ask yourself as an individual, as a congregation, what land has God given to you that you're already in? What land has God given to you? It could be literal land that God has given to you. You know, that's really, really powerful to have literal land for God. Does anyone agree? Yeah. It's important to do that. You know, I just think that that's really powerful. And some, you know, I don't know how, I've heard a statistic, but I don't know if it's true, so I was a bit hesitant to say it, but I'll say it. And if it's not true, you can just discard it. But just about the number of churches that have been turned into mosques, as in church buildings. And I know the church isn't about the building, it's about the people. But I still think there's something important about actually taking the land as an inheritance. So let's be thinking about that. You know, some of us, maybe God's put in our heart to buy land. Maybe it's a house in a certain area or something like that, and it's really hard. But let's take hold of that. Maybe some of us, we're trying to keep the land that we're given. But there's something about standing in that. So just throwing that out there. There's a whole thing that the land that God has given us in terms of our giftings, so keeping hold of that. You know, in the New Testament, when Paul is writing to Timothy, he says to him to fan into flame the gifts that have been given him, to him that we receive with the laying on of hands. And I want to encourage you that if you have got gifts that God has given you, that maybe you've been stepping back, you haven't been standing in that land, maybe you've been discouraged or different things have happened, to take hold of that land, to stand in that, to push into it, you know. For me today, in the light of what happened in Albania and things that, just quickly say, so I really felt for ages and ages, maybe more than a year, a real thing about trying to get the children to pray for healing. And when we were in Albania, I just felt like there was an opportunity to do it, and I thought, I'm just going to go for it. And it was great. But as my kind of stake in the ground to continue to stand into that ground, this is why this morning I want to get the children to pray, and Pete and Helen were happy with that. Because there's something about keep on exercising those gifts and those things that God has put in your heart, making a stand in it. You know, I remember after we had the Under an Open Heaven conference last year, because I was speaking in Maidenhead the Sunday after, and I just knew we have to continue to stand in this ground for ourselves. We have to do words of knowledge this morning, and we believe that we're going to see God healing people in our congregations. So it's important that we step out in the gifts that God has given us. It's a simple thing, but we need to be proactive, fan into flame the gift that God has given us. It might be situations in our families or friends, in our workplace, promises that God has given us that we stand on. We stand on those promises. We are faithful to that. We believe. We live our lives in accordance if this promise that God has given us is true. Standing in those things is so important. You know, faithfulness to the things that God has given us, things that God has promised us, is so important. Just think about Abraham. You know, he had a promise from God that was going to impact the world, but he didn't actually see it come into being until right at the end of his life, you know, when he was beyond the natural ability to have children. But yet, even though he did have a few ups and downs, he stood on that promise. He remained faithful to the God who had promised him. And we just need to remind ourselves of these things, just to continue to stand in the land that God has given us. You know, one example of this in the journey at the moment is we have this youth club called Impact, which reaches out to teenagers on an estate in our village who, you know, they have all the kind of difficulties that you would expect teenagers to have in those situations. Lots of broken families, poverty, difficult things. And for the guys who run that club, it costs them everything. You know, it's such hard work. You can imagine all the things that happen, and not just with the physical thing of running, but spiritually, it's a real battle for them. And, you know, recently we've been having conversations about changing it, or can we keep on going? And I just so know we cannot stop. We have to continue to take hold of this ground. Yeah, we might need to find other ways of doing it, but this is ground that God has given us. And if we step back from this land, then the enemy can come in. We need to continue to stand in that land, even though it's not quite exactly how we want it to be right now. It's not as influential as we want it to be. But the fact that we're here and we're standing is powerful into this community with what we're seeing so far. So I just encourage you to think about how that applies to your own situation. Okay, I'm over my 5 minute slot that I gave myself. So very, very quickly, the next thing was thinking, what land has God promised you that you must possess? You know, I encourage you to read Joshua 1, the famous passage about that. But just feel that for some of you here, God has promised you land, and actually for some of you, now is the time to go in and possess it. Now for some of you here, just felt as we were sharing those stories about Albania, that God has spoken to you about different countries that he wants you to go and be involved in. And maybe you've been standing back, not sure on the right time. But for some of you, the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on it, says, now's the time, go in and possess the land. So if that applies to you, just take hold of that. But what land has God promised you that you must possess? You know, unbelief can stop us from walking into the promised land. We see that with the story of Joshua. If you want to read in Numbers chapter 13 about where the spies first went into the land, and it was only Joshua and Caleb who believed that they could take it, they could win the land. The rest of them didn't. They put unbelief onto the whole children of Israel, and so they didn't go in for all those years to come. You know, unbelief can stop us. You know, maybe it's unbelief in our lives that are stopping us from walking into that promised land that God has given us. It's so important to just consider that. What is holding us back? We need faith, gift of faith from the Holy Spirit to walk and possess that land that God has given us. Two quick more points and then we're going to pray. You know, when we stop occupying the land, the enemy can come in and take that land back. You know, we see throughout history that there have been great moves of God, or certain things have happened in an area, and then somehow there hasn't been the process to hand it on to the next generation, or people have got disappointed and disillusioned and they've given up, and they've essentially given that land up. The enemy has come in, and then the church are fighting again to take back that land. And we want to be people who, as a church, as families, with our children, You know, as people who we are constantly having the mindset of passing on that inheritance, that land that we have already taken, we're passing it on, we're telling the stories, we're helping people to understand what it cost us to take that land, what that land means, you know, how important it is that they can occupy and take more land. And, you know, I just love the verse where it says, the increase of his government, there'll be no end. That there's always more of God's kingdom to come and come. So whatever we take hold of, there's always more. So we want to be passing on to the each generation that's coming what we have already got so they can take more. Are you up for that? And that needs to kind of be the thing that runs through everything that we do. Everything that we do, when we're pushing in for things, when we're taking hold of things, when we're praying for things, when we're fighting for things, that we need to keep on telling the stories of what it cost us to get here, what it means. We need to keep on telling those stories so the next generations will know, and they will know how to take more land for the kingdom of God. And I'm using land as a metaphorical term. It can cover all kinds of things in our family situations, in our workplaces, in our church. What does it mean for us to take hold of that land? So I'm just going to summarize what I have got to, and then we're going to pray for the sick. So God is encouraging us that we need to stand. You know, some of us may be feeling disappointed, disillusioned. Things may have been tough. But let's continue to stand. Faithfulness to God is just such a powerful thing. When you see people who've stood to the end, and you see what has therefore come. You know, some of us, we might be so close to a breakthrough in the situation, and we're just about to give up. But God is encouraging us to stand. You know, we need to know how powerful it is that we possess the land that God has given us. That is a powerful thing that we are here and we're standing. We need the faith to take hold of land that God has promised us. And we need to continue to occupy the land. We need to pass on as inheritance. We need to have that in the way that we are so that land won't be lost, but land will be gained more and more as we go on through the years. So I just, let's just maybe close our eyes for a moment or focus on God in whatever way is helpful for us. And maybe just ask the Holy Spirit, if you're not sure, what is the land that you have given me? Where do I need to continue to stand? Ask the Holy Spirit if there's any land that he's promised you that he's saying now is the time to possess the land. Maybe for some of us, the Holy Spirit just wants to give us kind of wisdom from heaven on how we pass on the inheritance to the next generation. If you're feeling that you just really need the Holy Spirit to strengthen you to be able to stand at this time, do you want to just stand to your feet and we'll just pray? Maybe the people around can just gather around and just pray for those people. Or if there's a friend that you can see standing, you want to come and pray alongside them. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for the power of standing. We thank you so much for the power of faithfulness, Lord. And I just thank you for these people who are faithfully standing, even though it's tough. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and you would just strengthen them deep in their inner man right now, Lord, that they would be able to continue to stand against the odds. Strengthen them, Lord. Lord, I pray that the joy of the Lord would be their strength. Pray, Lord, that you would guard their hearts with your peace. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give them fresh hope, fresh eyes to see, Lord, that you would remind them of the wonderful promises that you've given them, that you would remind them of who you are, Lord, as a faithful Father who never leaves them. Yeah, Holy Spirit, would you just minister to each one in a special way to them, Lord? Just pour out your love on them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, if you're still praying, please feel free to continue. But we're going to pray for the sick now.
those with things wrong in their bodies. Does anyone on the Marlow team have any words of knowledge? Or on the big ear? If these apply to you, if you're brave enough, could you stand?
One thing that we have been learning on the big year is about courage and about stepping out and hearing from God and moving out in scary things you've not done before. And I would say I was one that finds the whole word of knowledge thing a little bit tricky. I get loads of prophetic pictures and words for people. But being specific words of knowledge is quite difficult. And we've been encouraged to believe that God can give us those words of knowledge. So I'm giving it a go, guys. When I was praying, I just felt, I didn't know whether there was anyone that had some kind of injury in their elbow. I'm willing to pray for you if you do. Excellent. Cool. I also felt that, as I didn't know whether there was anybody who'd had to go to the hospital this week, to the doctors. I wasn't given any kind of illness, but if there was anyone that had it, excellent. So we can pray into that. And this one's a little bit sensitive, so you might not want to put your hand up for this, but find somebody to pray for you afterwards. The words urine infection came to mind. So if you've had one of those... Okay, cool. So with the bass guys and a few other people, we can pray for you.
Anybody else, do they have words of knowledge? Great. What I want to do is, children, if you're brave enough, can you just come at the front here? Okay. What I would like to do is, the people who responded to words of knowledge, if you want to stand up now, if that's okay, and anybody else who has anything wrong with them that they would like to get healed, could you stand to your feet? And what I would like you guys, both the base guys and children and other people around them, we're just going to believe in faith that God's going to heal these people. So if you'd like to go and pray for them to be healed, is that all right? So just go and find someone, put your hands on them and just pray for them. So if you're getting a partial healing, has anyone got a partial healing so far? Was that a yes? Tell us what's happening. Do you want to come to the mic so we can hear you?
We just started to pray for her shoulder, and then like she started to feel heat, and then after that, it's Lane, isn't it? She couldn't do that, and like she couldn't lift it up high. So, and then after we had prayed for her, she could.
Great. Was that Jean? Show us. She can lift her arm. Yay! Let's thank Jesus. Anybody else got any? We have a healing here.
Stiffness in the hands, and I'm having tests now, but Nathan, James, and Mark prayed for me, and I'm believing for a loosening and a healing, and I'm just feeling some warmth.
Great. Let's pray for more. Keep praying. Any more healings? Yay, another one. Tell us.
I hurt my back about 3 weeks ago, cleaning my teeth. Don't laugh. I just bent over and it went. And I've had lots of treatment and it hasn't got better. And today we were singing something about God's healing power. And I put my own hand on my back and thought, I'm going to have that. And then people have just prayed for me and it's gone. And I can get back in my garden.
It's fantastic. How many people can't tell now, but when they prayed for, they felt like God was touching them, but you don't know yet if you've been healed? Do you want to just wave high so we can see? Very exciting. Great. Well, keep on praying if you're still praying, but I want to just read some verses over us, and then I'll hand back to Pete. Jesus said to his disciples before he went up to heaven in Mark 16, verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So that's available for all of us. So I just want to pray over us. And if you're up for this, just reach out your hands just to receive something fresh. So, Lord, I just thank you that you have given us all this commission, Lord, as we go about our day-to-day lives. And I just want to pray for all of us that this week
we would see significant encounters with people in our family, our friends, in our workplace, with our school friends, Lord, that you would give us opportunities to reach out with the love of Jesus, and that your power would be displayed, that people would know that you are the God who is love and is good. Amen.
I had a picture of a doorway with a sort of lintel like that, and there's light on the other side. There's somebody standing on the point of decision in the middle of that doorway, tying in with what Vicky was sharing earlier. And the doorway isn't from life to death, so don't worry, but it's from where you are to where God's taking you. And I'd really encourage you to come forward, and we'll pray with you in an agreement for that, because I think you need to make the step and walk into that light, the other side of the doorway.
Thank you, John. So if that's you, please do come forward, and John will pray with you. So we're going to close the meeting there now. There's coffee and so on outside, but just do carry on. If you're praying and you still want prayer, then carry on praying for each other. We're happy for that to continue.